And good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, February the 20th, 2018, 12:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great show today. Going to have lots of open phone line talk over the next 2 hours, because I know there is a lot on your mind out there in the listening audience. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we will commemorate the 50th anniversary of Mr. Rogers going on television, which was yesterday, by having David Newell, a.k.a. Mr. McFeely, on tomorrow at 12:10, and on Thursday at 1:10, Adlai Stevenson III, the son of Adlai Stevenson, former presidential contender and major politician. So that'll be a lot of fun. But as many of you know, we have got a governor's race that is going on in the state of Ohio that is highly interesting. On this program, a little under 2 weeks ago, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor announced that she would not support Attorney General Mike DeWine in the Maine. Connie Pillich, who was running with our mayor, dropped out of the race last week. A very sad event, the school shooting that took place last week. A lot of talk about gun control right now. Our governor, Governor Kasich, is out doing the programs, morning shows, and saying that now he might support an assault weapons ban. So what better time to welcome back to this program for his second visit, but hopefully not his last, candidate in the Democratic primary for governor, former Ohio Representative Dennis Kucinich. Representative Kucinich, how are you?
Good afternoon. It's good to join you, Scott.
Yeah, it's always good to speak with you. The talk seems to be gun control as of late. I know you recently laid out a plan for Ohio should you be elected governor. Tell us about that.
Well, what I'm calling for is an assault weapons ban. You know, I'm not calling for everyone to have to give up their guns. But these assault weapons are weapons of war. They have no place in civil society. And we need to get rid of them. There's no school that should be after doing special drills in case somebody walks in with an assault weapon. No teacher should have to worry about whether they're going to have to take a bullet for one of their kids. No parent should have to worry about sending their kid to school in the morning and not wondering if they'll actually come back. These assault weapons are dangerous. The state needs to ban them, and that's what I'm focusing on. And at this point, I seem to be the only major candidate in this race who's willing to say that these weapons ought to be banned.
I believe today, Rich Cordray, who's in the primary with you on the Democratic side, is going to announce his stance on gun control. It's kind of out there what he might or might not announce. What do you think of Rich Cordray's stance on guns?
Well, I think, let me ask you a question. Do you know why it is that no municipality in Ohio, including Marion, Cleveland, Columbus, Toledo, do you know why they cannot enact their own bans on assault weapons?
I do not.
Well, let me tell you why. Because in 2010, then Attorney General Cordray went to the Ohio Supreme Court and overturned a 1991 Cleveland assault weapon ban. And when he overturned that, it affected all the communities in Ohio. He also was instrumental in a U.S. Supreme Court case, which took away the rights of any local communities to make any laws at all that would affect assault weapons or any other kind of weapon. And so, you know, the reason why I'm urging people in cities across the state and in school boards to take a model resolution that we put on our website at Kucinich.com and pass it and send it to the state legislature so that the action can happen at a state level, which at this point is the one place where people can do something about it.
You know,
so we have to ban assault weapons.
Representative Kucinich, you've run for president, and the talk over the last week certainly has been Second Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. What do you believe the Second Amendment means as a United States citizen?
Well, look, the Second Amendment's a fact. But the Second Amendment doesn't provide that communities can't, or that a country can't protect itself against military-grade assault weapons. The Second Amendment doesn't rule out states being able to pass assault weapon bans. And so, you know, what I'm saying is that on our website at Kucinich.com, people can go in there and take action. We have to ban assault weapons, period. This isn't whether you're for the Second Amendment or not. The Second Amendment does not provide for an unrestricted right to have any kind of weapon at all you want. States have the ability to regulate that. And that's why we're saying Ohio ought to ban assault weapons. Cities used to have that ability in this state until Mr. Cordray overturned that. And cities used to have the ability to provide for the safety of their people on gun issues, and he was instrumental in overturning that as well. And so he's not going to be for assault weapon ban. It's not going to happen. And I'm saying this is a defining issue. Parents shouldn't have to worry about their kids going to school. People shouldn't have to worry about their workplace, somebody coming in with an assault weapon. It's different from every other kind of weapon because of the lethality of it, the number of people can be killed in a matter of seconds. And we have to get a handle on it. This isn't a question of whether you are a sportsman and you support people hunting or if you want to carry a gun. It is a question of whether or not these particular types of weapons ought to be circulating in our society. And I for one, and I'm not the only one, we have thousands of people who have signed a pledge on our site to become involved with their councils and their school boards to sign a resolution, to pass resolutions that would then go to the state house and demand the state legislature take action to ban these assault weapons. And again, this is the International Police Chiefs Association and at least nine major law enforcement organizations have said these assault weapons have to be banned. They're a danger to everyone. And there's no redeeming quality to having these weapons on the streets of our cities or the potential that someone could take it and go into a crowded place and kill a lot of people, as is happening.
Our country is in a very precarious time right now. Certainly the other big story last week, right along with assault weapons, was 13 Russians were indicted in possibly election fraud. I think that's what the term was used, intellectual. What do you think should be done in regard to cyber warfare? And do you like what the president is saying today, that it was President Obama's fault? Do you believe that?
Well, look, this is not necessary to engage in a blame game. But I'm not running for president. I'm running for governor of the state of Ohio. And, you know, I frankly think that we ought to be concerned about making sure that people can vote, that their registrations are intact, that they're not ruled out for some minor technicalities, that people who have served their time are given a chance to have their voting rights restored, that people are given access to voting, so the voting locations are present, that people will have a reason to vote. You know, the federal government is going to have to engage in protecting our country against cyber attacks from everywhere. But we in Ohio can do our own part. That's why the Secretary of State's office is important, but it's also why governor's office is important. So, you know, I'm dedicated to making sure that the vote in Ohio is protected. But the real question here that people want to know is their vote going to count? And it counts when you have a candidate to vote for, and myself and Tara Samples are giving people real choice, so people can vote for somebody who's going to take a stand, not be afraid, be clear and unambiguous on the issues that matter to the people of Ohio. But I'm not going to get into the blame game on, on this case where these indictments came out last week, because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't have anything to do with this election in Ohio.
Let me ask you about this election in Ohio. In the Democratic primary, a lot of people, when they refer to Rich Cordray, they refer to him as the front runner. Do you think the Democratic Party is with you in this election, and do they need to be?
Well, look, you know, the people are the Democratic Party, not some clique in Columbus. I could care less what the state Democratic Party leaders want to do in this election. I don't play the party game. I'm very independent-minded. I'm a Democrat, but no party boss can ever tell me that I have to get in line on thus and so. It doesn't work that way. That's from another era, and I, you know, that I'm not a part of.
Two quick questions before we have to let you go. Two quick questions. Back on the assault weapon, because I think that is the talk of the day. Do you believe the Second Amendment covers assault weapons?
Does what?
Does the Second Amendment cover assault weapons?
No, states have the ability to be able to regulate them. It isn't. There's no unrestricted right to any kind of weapon. It doesn't. You know, it's a misreading of the Second Amendment. You know, people have. You know, this, the Supreme Court has established the Second Amendment that people have rights, and at the same time, there is no there's no right of any kind in our country under our Constitution that's without some restrictions. And so the idea that that the Second Amendment would allow someone to have an assault weapon is just erroneous. That we have, states have the right to be able to regulate it. And cities used to have the right until Mr. Cordray intervened to take that away.
Well, let me
so
ask...
I'm saying that if they go to, people go to Casinus.com right now, they can join this effort to protect our children, our schools, our communities, get these assault weapons off the street. That's what this is about. It's not about any other kind of gun, it's about the assault weapons.
That being said, my final question before we let you go, when Rich Cordray was on this program 2 weeks ago, I asked him, I understand he wants to be the nominee, thinks he will be the nominee, but if he is not the nominee and the people say somebody else, would he support the Democratic candidate? He said yes. So I pose the same question to you. I know you want to be the candidate, you think you will be, but if you're not, could you support Rich Cordray, if he is?
Look, if you run inside the Democratic primary, you're honor-bound to support the nominee of the party. That's not a big deal. It's understood.
So you would have no problem voting for him, Rich Cordray?
Well, look, I'm running right now, so let's not get things mixed up here. There's a race right now, and I have fundamental disagreements with him. You know, I'm pledged to support the outcome, but... you know, am I supporting him right now? No.
Well, I understand that, but
so let's not get ahead of this. Is what I'm telling you. You know, I've said before, and I've done it before when I was running for president. Yes, I supported the nominee of the party, and I'll support the nominee of this party. But as far, I don't want it to be misinterpreted. Though, I'm in this race to win, and I expect to win. And so, you know, that being the case, even if I don't win, yeah, I'll support party choice, and I don't think that's such a big deal. It's kind of a given.
Seems to be on the Republican side right now.
Well, you know what, I can't help whatever palpitations are going on in that party. We've got enough trouble in our own to pay attention to.
Representative Dennis Kucinich, it's always a pleasure, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Let's do it. Thanks a lot, and please go to Kucinich.com to get information and sign the pledge to help ban assault weapons. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey, Representative Dennis Kucinich, always an interesting man to talk to, but, you know, there you go. We appreciate his visits and always do. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now when it comes to this assault weapon question. Obviously, Representative Kucinich does not feel that that's covered in Ohio. Our governor now, though, Governor Kasich, seems to think that maybe assault weapons are not covered. I don't think that the lieutenant governor, although I don't want to put words in her mouth, I think she called a lot of this talk of banning things a knee-jerk reaction. Even speaking of the governor, Kasich. I don't know. The kid speaking, I think, does make a big deal. 740-383-9944. What is your feeling on it? Would love to know what you think about this and what Representative Kucinich says. Is Representative Kucinich making any headway in your mind? Who, in your opinion, is the front runner in the Democratic primary? We keep calling Rich Cordray the front runner. Do you think he's the front runner? Or do you think possibly it is Dennis Kucinich? Pillich is out. There are a few others still in there. But the ones, I think, raising the most money and pulling the highest are Dennis Kucinich and Rich Cordray. Who do you think in the end is going to pull that out? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I have to tell you, I am exhausted today. Last night at about 6:30, the power went out where I live, and it was out until long after I had went to bed. I think it must have came up maybe 2 or 3 o'clock this morning. And when it came back on, of course it woke me up, because the lights come back on and the things you had on at 6:30 in the evening came blaring back up. But boy, that makes for a rough night's sleep. I think I will sleep well tonight. But that's not where we are now. Where we are now is talking to you and wanting to talk to you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We got an email yesterday about the program we did with Jim Robinault on the presidents and so on and so forth. And I'm not sure if it was a negative email or not. They just wanted to know who it was who was on talking about President Harding, and said that President Trump had not done well, that he would give him an F for being for his first year in office. That was Jim Robinault. That was the guest yesterday. I don't know. I don't really think that Trump is an F. That would be hard to say. I just don't know. I don't think everything he's done has been bad, but I don't think every president's done has been bad. I think somewhere in the collective middle, you will find that everybody's got some good in them, don't they? You know, I would think so. 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We'll talk about anything on your mind. And one of the topics we had on the table yesterday was Laddie Boy, President Harding's dog. Because as many of you know, back in 2012, Laddie Boy's collar, gold collar, I believe it was stolen out of the Harding home one night, and I believe has yet to be returned. Now, as I said yesterday, I don't believe that this was sold anywhere. I don't believe that it was melted down, and I believe that somebody living today in 2018, this happened less than 6 years ago, would know what happened to that collar of Laddie Boy. And if you have any information, just give us a call. It'd be interesting to hear what you heard happened to it, even if you don't have any firsthand information. Where is it? Did somebody bury it in the backyard? And what was the purpose of taking it? I can't imagine that it was for money, because they would have to melt it down, I would think, to sell it, because people were looking for it at the time. I mean, the next morning, people were looking for it. Did they smuggle it out of the state? How did they even know it was there? It almost seems more like a prank, because they broke into the Harding home in the middle of the night. How did they know that the collar was right inside that window? That's very puzzling to me. And also, there probably would have been other things that you could have taken that would have been of equal or greater value. I don't know. What do you make of that story? That's just mystery. 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Give us a call, and we'll talk about that. Because that is just a mystery to me that I would like to see solved. I hope nothing bad happened to it, but if it did, you know, let's hear. I've never heard anybody talk about it. That's the weird thing. Usually when something like that happens, like back in the day of Lady Justice being stolen, or people finding letters from President Harding, there's always some talk of it. Now, people might not have firsthand knowledge of it, but there's always some talk of what really happened. And I would love to know what happened to Laddie Boy's collar? Where did it go? Did somebody melt it down and sell it? I hope not. And if they do still have it, if it is still in the Marion area, let's return it. You know, Richard Carey took Lady Justice, and I don't believe Richard Carey ever faced prosecution. I think the courthouse and the city and the county were just glad to have it back, and it was put back on the courthouse. So, you know, what do you think? Does anybody out there have any knowledge of this at all? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And on the gun issue, it's been said for a long time. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. Okay. Well, we do have restrictions on other things. We do restrict the age you can drive. We do restrict the age you can gamble. We do restrict the age that you can buy alcohol. So why do we do that? Why do we put any precautions? Why do we have a rule in Ohio that says you have to have car insurance if you drive? Why do we say that you can't drive if you're above this alcohol level? These aren't just assumptions. These are laws. So why don't we have any laws in place when it comes to guns? Is it just simply a Second Amendment thing that you have a right to own any gun you want? I don't know. See, I am kind of out on this one because I don't have much knowledge of guns, and I don't, you know, to me, either way, I don't know that it will affect me. I don't know. But I am curious what you have to say out there in the audience, because I think it's a fascinating subject. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And it certainly used to be that you could not win an election if you talked about banning any kind of gun. So I wonder if people like John Kasich, who may be running for president, or Dennis Kucinich, who is running for governor, I wonder if they can win. Do you think they can win if they do not fully support the Second Amendment, which is what a lot of times it comes down to? It's a fascinating topic when you uncover everything. 740-383-9944. I think everybody must have fallen asleep in the listening audience today. If you're driving, pull over. Give us a call. We want to hear from you, because the listener's opinion on all of this stuff is far more important than my own. And yesterday we got into a discussion on President's Day. It started with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and that whole mess. But, you know, this whole thing in general about people writing books about other people and us getting our information from those books, you know, I just don't know about that. Because as I was trying to say yesterday, and I hope it came across, you have to have a malicious intent if you are saying something negative about a living person in a book or on a social media page or anywhere. Because if I know something bad about you, that's okay. I know it. I saw you do something bad. I know you did something bad. Okay, that's fine. But the problem is if I write that and try to sell that in a book, or I put that on the World Wide Web, or I put that in Facebook, on Facebook for all to see, clearly I have malicious intent. Because there is no gain for me in bringing out something negative about you. So it's just, if you post anything negative, if you write anything negative, I have to believe that you had malicious intent for doing it. because I don't know what you gain by it except selling books or getting attention. So I have to believe that's malicious intent. So if I have to believe that that's malicious intent, then I don't even know if I can believe it. Because people make up so much stuff that it's unreal. I mean, you know, take Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton out of this whole Russian thing. 13, I mean, Russians were indicted last Friday for putting out fake information. Putting out fake information. Trying to sway you. And spending $1.25 million every month to do so. That's amazing that that happened. That they were holding rallies in the United States to make you think something other than what was true. Now, what was their motive? It was malicious. It was malicious. It was to try to undermine our whole election process. It was to undermine one candidate in favor of another, even if neither candidate knew about it. So, again, I don't think anybody believes what the Russians were putting out there, because I think, by and large, it was all false. So again, when I look at people who put out false information, you know, they're usually not the best friends anymore of the people they're putting out that information on. So I always kind of take that with a grain of salt. Because if somebody fires you or ceases association with you, you probably have something negative to say about them. You know, I always think of the wife theory. If you marry somebody and you divorce them and you marry somebody else, usually the first wife doesn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about you. Sometimes they do, but by and large, in the mean, they do not have nice things to say. So to me, that's kind of the negative books and the tell-all. I think it's just malicious intent, and I think it's done to make you dislike people. And some people do it. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think a lot of what's going on is phony? And does any of this mean anything in general? Do any of these Russian indictments, do any of these people in general, is there anything important there? Go ahead.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
You're stuck with me again.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to be.
You know, one of your favorite guests there made a comment one time, Pat Carroll.
Yes.
When she talked about gossip. And a lot of the stuff that's out, it sort of excites people because it is gossipy and it's, you know, very derogatory to people and all that. But, you know, if you just talk about what a nice guy these people are, it doesn't seem to have much impact. But if you basically can come up and say, oh, he did this or she did this and all that, it becomes exciting for people. I think that's why the internet comments and stuff are basically there. You know, they try to get people excited with stuff, and it's foolish. But you don't seem to think books are a good way to find out about people?
Well, here's the problem. If it's a living person, the problem I have, much like when we had Jim Robinaud on yesterday. Now, he is a lawyer, but he's also a presidential historian. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, he has no real political bend at this particular juncture, because he's a big fan of President Harding, wrote a book about him, and he's also not a fan of President Nixon in general because of his association with John Dean. But what's interesting is that The Shadow of Blooming Grove, which was written, I believe, in the 60s, was the Bible on President Harding for 50 years until Jim Robinaud wrote his book, The Harding Affair. Now, those books are completely different, and they're written by two men neither one of which who knew President Harding. Now, Francis Russell, I believe, was alive during the presidency. Jim Robinault, of course, was not. But we learned through letters that Francis Russell had a racist bend and wanted to believe and smear President Harding. But a lot of people believed it. That was the book. That was the book historians used to put Harding in the bottom five for 60 years. And why did Francis Russell, even Nan Britton, and I am sympathetic to Nan Britton. We've had her grandson on. But her book was written to be salacious.
Mm-hmm.
It was not meant, she was angry. She was angry that President Harding didn't acknowledge her child. She was angry that he didn't leave her any money. She was furious. So she wrote a book disparaging him. And she loved him as a child, sent him love letters. She obviously had a relationship with him. She liked him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But yet her book is considered a negative. So I do.
But was it true? I think that's the most important part.
You know, it's hard to say because did it produce a child? Yes. So that part of it is true. And I guess that could be looked on as a negative. But what was if Nan Britton had been given money, do you think she'd have written that book?
I have no idea.
I clearly think not, because that's one of the reasons she wrote the book, and one of the major proceed receivers of that book was Mothers in Need, because we got to remember back in the 1920s and 30s, that's before Roosevelt, we did not have organizations that took care of unwed mothers,
mm-hmm.
and that's where a lot of her money went. That's what she was a big advocate for. She didn't have any money to raise this kid. The father wasn't even acknowledging it. So, yeah, was part of it true? Yes. But did she write it with a malicious intent? Of course she did. She was angry.
And she had good reason to be angry, didn't she? Again, was it true? Was what she said true?
Well, here's why we get into the weeds. In 2018, we can say what she said was true through DNA. Mm-hmm. Did President Harding know it was his child in 1920? I don't know.
I would hope that she would have mentioned it.
Oh, well, she might have.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, this is a 50-year-old man. She is a 20-year-old woman. She's written
50 or a bit older than that.
Maybe a little. It's 50s, 60s.
Oh, okay.
He's 50s and his 60s. She's in her 20s. She is writing him love letters. They're having a lurid affair in closets in the White House. Mm-hmm. And then one day she shows up and says, "I'm pregnant with your child." Now, if you're Harding, do you think that's to extort you? Because in those days, I don't know that you could prove that the child was yours, and he wasn't given enough time, really, because he died.
Yeah.
But was her? Do you think the president's daughter was written with a good, to make President Harding look like a good guy?
No, it was written for money.
Because, got it.
Because she knew it would sell, right?
And it was malicious.
Okay, but it was true.
Well, I don't know.
It can be malicious and true at the same time.
Right. That's what I'm not saying. Everything in the books are false. What I'm saying is, if your intent is to be malicious, why are you any better than them?
Because all you did was tell people what they did, and again, the gossip issues.
For money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my problem. Because obviously Nan Britton loved him. Clearly. Was infatuated.
At one point. Infatuated. Mm-hmm.
Okay. She didn't like how he treated her after.
Right.
And she needed money.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote a book of malicious things about a man. Now, you got to remember, Nan Britton in 1918, 1920, has got clippings from newspapers on her bedroom walls of this man. Mm-hmm. And less than 10 years later, she's telling you how bad he was.
Yeah.
But why'd she do it? For money. So, somebody who takes money to... Because I think if the book had been, oh, I loved him, boy, he was great, I don't really knew if he knew... This is his child, but I don't know if he knew it. That book probably won't sell.
No, that would be dull.
Right. But that could be the truth.
Yeah.
So you gotta salacious it up to get the money. And that's what I don't know. That's what my whole thesis is on books about people from people who are no longer their friend. They got nothing to lose because the friendship is gone. And why write that? You're either doing it for money or you're doing it to be malicious. And in either one of those cases, I'm just not comfortable with that. Because I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, my source for Harding was always the Ohio Gang. I don't know if you ever read it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it tended to be more about him being foolish and having people in there that, were bad. It wasn't, the biggest thing it had to say about Harding was that he wasn't all that bright because of the people that he hung around that, sort of ran the show.
It could have been. And you know the thing that, well, here... All I know is that Jim Robinault's book, which I think is still the most recent book on Harding, written in 2009, it's a very positive aspect of what, not very bright. Well, the book asserts that he knew that Carrie Phillips was a German spy, and he was using her to get information.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make him not that dumb. So I don't know. See, that's the thing.
And they were his buddies, and he trusted them. And it turned out that his trust wasn't deserved. That's what I mean by dumb. I don't mean his intellectual prowess. I'm talking about he made the mistake of trusting people who weren't trustworthy.
Well, couldn't we say, because I would venture to say that the politicians of recent year who we have heard the most negative things about would probably be George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Now, couldn't you say the same for them? That maybe they surrounded themselves with people who maybe they shouldn't have.
Oh, the worst case of that is Trump with Bannon and some of those guys. My God.
Well, the only thing I don't like about... People are starting to refer to President Trump as dumb, and yesterday they put him dead last. He's only been in there a year. I really don't like that. I don't believe the guy's dumb. He's not dumb. If he's dumb, he's dumb like a fox.
But he has mental problems. I don't mean exactly mental, but his the way he acts, he's basically an egotistic disaster.
Don't you have to be egotistical to believe you can run the free world?
You don't have to be the way he is.
I think he's the only one who's being honest about his feelings. That's one thing I'll say about Trump. I don't know if his facts are always true, but I think he thinks they are.
Yeah, which is delusional.
Well, I try to defend Trump because I don't think that I don't even know if he knew about the Russians. But what I don't like is that voting machine argument that we have. I don't like that because, to my knowledge, I only knew a few people who met these people. Larry Merchant had met Trump. Shecky Green had met Trump. Marge had met Trump. Mary Ellen had met Hillary. Probably closest thing we... Well, Madeleine Albright obviously knew Hillary. Al Franken knew Hillary. So we have all these people, and they all speak very highly of both of... Well, the Trump people didn't always speak highly of him, but Robin Leach did, and he knew Trump fairly well. So what I get confused about is that why are they so awful? Did you happen to listen to Adam's show this morning?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you something interesting. There was Dr. Feynman said something interesting this morning, and it was almost like he was listening to our conversation yesterday, which I don't think he was. But he said, because they were talking about the protest votes that in the last election, presidential. And he said, Dr. Feynman, not me, said that protest votes in the last election elected Donald Trump. He said, because even if you hated both of them the same amount personally, she was certainly more qualified.
No, I never said anything different there.
Right. So,
and, but my thought, as I expressed at the time, was that we know what Hillary is. I mean, she's a known, you know, a known thing. I says maybe he would be better. He's an unknown.
So you knew, you make no qualms that yours, you protest voted, but you knew it was giving it to Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Like I say, if I was forced, you know.
Well, that's probably Sean's opinion.
I'd vote for one of the two or go to jail. I would have voted for Trump.
Well, see, I think that was Sean's point
and
then.
And hated the idea of it.
Well, I think that might have been Sean's point then. Because his point, I think, was how can you think that Trump would be better than Hillary? Both of them are flawed candidates, but she at least would know what she's doing when she goes in there.
But if he had picked a few better people for his advisors, like I say, Banyan there was terrible.
Well, what did people think they were going to get? I mean, I watched him campaign. I wasn't shocked by anything he did when he became president. Didn't shock me a bit. What did people think was going to happen? He was going to get elected, and all of a sudden he was going to become a different person?
No, I don't. In fact, a lot of the stuff that he did, I approve of.
Okay.
Like getting rid of a lot of the regulations that were, were damaging businesses and such, and taking it off.
But like I say, we'll see how that goes in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about regulations are nobody just comes in one day and says, I'm going to slap a regulation on you just to do it.
Just to what now?
To do it. Nobody comes in and says, hey, you have to start doing this now just because I want you to do more paperwork. Just because I want you to do something more.
You know, the personal thing about regulations and all, I worked for the phone companies for years. Now, I was never one of the linemen, but the linemen always used to carry with them. They would have because it was hard work. It was out in the open and all, and in the summertime, it's pretty brutal. So they always had a big the thing of water that they always carried with them. Well, then the... all of a sudden, there's a regulation. You can't have that anymore. You have to have individual things and, this and that. And it was silly.
Yeah, but see, that's different.
I know the effort was to, to make it better for them, but it did make it worse.
Right, but see, here's where I think people get in the weeds. That's a private company making a private decision.
No.
No, they were.
That wasn't the company.
Who?
It was the, the health department thing.
The National Health Department?
Yeah.
And what was the reason?
they thought it, you could catch something from somebody else by sharing a water thing. It was an overstep, you know?
Well, I guess my question is, why would the National Health Organization...
I was trying to think of what it's called, the outfit.
Well, I don't know, because I would think that I could have walked into any restaurant in Marion, Ohio at any time in the last 30 years and saw two people drinking out of the same cup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's illegal.
No, I was trying to think of the organization.
I don't think it was a federal group.
It was a federal group.
But we'd have to know the particular, because I don't understand how you could regulate that.
Well, they told the companies, you are to do this. You cannot have shared things.
I just don't know, because I can't think, like I said, how would you know? As a federal government, how would you know?
Again, I wish the heck, God, I hate being old. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's basically the outfit that determines how, not the EPA.
But that's not what we are talking about with Trump is the EPA. And we're talking about coal. And we're talking about energy. And we're talking about financial regulations on companies. That's mm-hmm. what he lifted. Now, you know, people can feel how they want to feel on that, but those regulations I don't feel were silly. Because the last time we let companies do what they wanted to do, we had to bail them out because we about had another depression. And the last time we got rid of the EPA, we were seeing extra health care we were having to give to people in places like West Virginia because people in cities were getting sick and people were dying extremely young in coal mines.
Yeah.
So is that worth the job creation?
The people with no job, it would have been.
Well, the unemployment rate was already had continued to fall. So I don't know that we needed a whole lot of help. It was constantly falling for the last 7 years.
No, I'm not talking about the super recent stuff.
But we're going to take a break. If you're still listening, call back next hour. We'll continue on here.
Okay.
We'll be right back in 10 minutes. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was...